Thank you so much for standing, and I'm grateful as always for an opportunity to preach God's Word. I found out for sure this morning that I was preaching tonight, so I spent most of my day at a Taco Bell in Jensen Beach, and it was a wonderful time with the Lord and with some soft tacos, I suppose, but looking forward to preaching tonight. Psalm 42 in the Word of God this evening, Psalm 42, and we'll be going through Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. As a matter of fact, you'll notice Psalm 42 and 43 are very much connected, although they're separated by psalm markings there. Psalm 42 and 43, you'll notice the same themes, continuity, and those types of things. But let's read Psalm 42 beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mitzar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. Why they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And then Psalm 43, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." And then verse number 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let's pray together, may we? Father, we need you tonight. I pray that you would speak to hearts through your word. You promised your word would not return void. I pray tonight, God, for anybody that's discouraged, that you would encourage them. Perhaps somebody is away from you, that you would draw them back to yourself. And maybe even tonight, Lord, somebody is lost and they need salvation. I pray that you'd work in their lives, bring them to the knowledge of a saving Christ. Lord, we pray for our pastor tonight, that you'd strengthen him, for his mother and her health. Lord, I pray that you'd raise them up. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. We need you and we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the book of Psalms. You say, why do you love the book of Psalms? Because it is a book that shows us the raw feelings, the transparent feelings of those who wrote those Psalms. You have all types of people writing different types of Psalms. Of course, you know David. He wrote almost half of the book of Psalms. But here we have it. If you look there in Psalm 42 at the heading, it says, "To the chief musician, Mashkil, for the sons of Korah." Of course, we recognize that the chief musician, of course, is the Lord. And this is something that is written to him. And then you notice in the heading this word Mashkil, which means instruction. As we go through this psalm, the psalmist has some things that he wants those who are singing. He has some things that are those who are reading. He wants us to learn some lessons. He wants us to look at some things. And so we have this psalm written to the Lord that is for the purpose of instruction for those who are singing and reading this psalm. And then we find the human penman of Psalm 42 for the sons of Korah. And if you go back to the Old Testament, the Pentateuch and the book of Exodus, Korah is, of course, the person that led a rebellion against God's servant Moses, and his life was taken because of his rebellion against God. But God is going to finish the story. Now we have here, decades later, scores of years later, the sons of Korah are now in charge of some of the music in the temple. God's taken a story of rebellion, and he's turned it into a story of redemption. And that's what God does. Doesn't he? He turns the story around. If you'll give him all the pieces of it, he can write a better story. And so now we have this psalm, Psalm 42, written to the chief musician for our instruction and by the sons of Korah. Notice what the psalmist says in verse number 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We come to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, and we find this person, obviously, he's a follower of God. He's a believer. He's somebody that believes the Word of God. He's somebody that's going after God. He's trying to follow Him, yet we find that there's great heartache in his life. You know, it's very possible that you can be saved. It's very possible that you can know the Lord, that God can be your Father, Jesus can be your Savior, the Holy Spirit can be your Comforter, the Word of God can be your God. You can have all of those things, even though you might be saved, even though you have the Holy Spirit, even that you have a local church that you're a part of. Even then, Christians go through times of deep depression, deep sadness, and deep hurt. We go through difficult situations. You can be saved yet still have tears. You can be saved and feel distant from the Lord. You can be saved and have doubts about God's working in your life. You can be saved and have questions. You can be saved and feel like your prayers don't get through the ceiling. You can be a blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing child of God, and yet, as the psalmist says, he's cast down in his soul. I want you to know tonight, there are some times in our lives when God feels so far away. Spiritual depression is a real thing. It's not to say that physical depression is not a real thing, because it is. And there are people that deal with physical depression. But much of what we call depression in the Christian life can be solved by an understanding of God's Word. You ever been to a place where you feel like God is far away? I remember when I had graduated from college and Bible college in 2012, I took the long route around college, and I had graduated. I'd got hired on at the college, at the church, and it was for many of the students. Man, that would have been a dream job for them, to work at the place that they graduated from. And I graduated, I got a job, and I got to travel all over the place preaching at different types of churches and leading a singing group to all over the Western United States. Man, it should have been a great time serving the Lord, but during those years, I felt that the Lord was so far away. You say, what do you mean? I was serving the Lord. I was trying to do the best that I could. I was trying to read my Bible, and I was trying to pray. I was trying to lead other people to Christ, but I felt like God was a million miles away. You ever been there? You ever been to the place where you're in church and you feel like you're the only person there, where you're all by yourself and you feel like God is just not there? He feels far away. Well, the psalmist, he's there. He feels like God is far away. His soul is cast down within him. And he's going to give us some things to learn tonight as we consider this topic, when God feels far away. First of all, I want you to consider this. Notice the psalmist's description. What happens when we feel God is far away? We find that it brings sorrow. Look at Psalm 42 and verse number 3. The Bible says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know, sometimes when we feel that God is far away, that brings sorrow. It brings pain. It brings physical pain and sorrow. Notice what it says again in verse number 3, my tears are my meat. Okay, he's saying here that his tears are his food. He's saying physically his sorrow is hurting, is so much so that he can't even enjoy food. It says his tears are his meat. We find that it's not just a physical thing, but it affects the whole body physically and emotionally and spiritually. We find again in verse number 3, his tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He's not eating, and now he's not sleeping. It's something that's dominating his mind, where he's at. His tears are his meat day and night. God, where are you? You ever been there? We find there's physical pain and sorrow in the life of this psalmist, his description. He's describing these things. Look at Psalm 42 and verse number 4, the first part of it. The Bible says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. There's great sorrow. Spiritual depression brings great sorrow. Look at Psalm 42 and verse number 9. The Bible says, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Spiritual depression brought physical pain and physical sorrow and sustained sorrow. Look again at verse number 3. The Bible says again, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? It seems to me like the psalmist is in a rough spot. He's in a bad spot. He got spiritual depression, feeling that God is far away. It brings sorrow. It brings physical sorrow, physical pain. He's not sleeping. He's not eating. This is dominating his life at this point in time. Sustained sorrow. Spiritual depression brings seclusion. Look at verse number 6. Psalm 42. The Bible says this, O my God, my soul is cast down with me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mitzer. So geographically speaking, he's talking about a place that is still in the promised land, but it's just about as far away as you can get from the temple. It's just about as far away as you can get from Jerusalem. It's at the northern border of the land of Jordan, of the promised land. And he's talking about he feels so far away. He feels like he's far away from God, and he feels like God is far away from him. He is all the way on the border of the land. He is on the hill of Mitzar. By the way, that word, the hill of Mitzar, talks about how it's a small, insignificant place. And here he is, he's sorrowful, he's showing spiritual depression, he feels like God is far away, and now he feels secluded. Listen, sometimes you can be in a large crowd of people and you can still feel like you're all alone. You can be lonely and by yourself. When you feel that God is far away, you feel like you're on your own. It's a scary place to be. Sustained sorrow, it brings seclusion. The psalmist was crushed. He remembered the times of the temple. Now he felt a million miles away. It's his description of what's going on in his life. He's sorrowful. He's secluded. There's a second thing tonight, not only the psalmist's description, but the psalmist's deliberations. Think about the questions he's asking here. Depression asks difficult questions. What do you spend your time thinking about? Well, the psalmist spent his time thinking about questions. Difficult questions that people don't want to ask, that people don't want to answer. And that is where this psalmist, the sons of Korah, that's where he is living at this moment in time. What questions does he ask? Look at verse number 2 of Psalm 42. The Bible says this, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Here's the first question, when shall I come and appear before God? In other words, how long? When am I going to get back to God? When is this all going to be restored? When is everything going to be well again? How long? You ever been to that place? God, how long? Sometimes we pray prayers and we feel like they're not getting answered. Sometimes we pray prayers and we think we just pray and pray. God, how long is it going to take until you answer that prayer request? He's asking the question, when? How long, God? Here's the second question he's asking. Look at verse number 3 again. The Bible says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? The first question, when? The second question, where? People asking, where's your God? God, where are you? Where are you, God? And he asked the question not once, but he asked it twice. Later in Psalm 43, he asked it again. But these are the questions that he's asking, when and where? Here's a third question that he's asking. Now he's asking the question, why? Look at verse number 5 of Psalm 42. The Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Psalm 42, verse number 9, it says, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Psalm 42 and verse number 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The end of Psalm 43, the Bible says it again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He's got questions. God, how long? When are you going to work? When are you going to show up? He's asking God, where? Where are you, God? And he feels like he's all alone. He's in the farthest place he could be, away from the temple, from the presence of God. He's asking God, when are you going to work? God, where are you? And God, why is this happening to me? Difficult questions this psalmist is asking. But let me encourage you tonight. Instead of asking, why is this happening to me? Ask, why am I responding this way? You think about the questions that we ask, why? Most of the time, we can't do anything to control the why is this happening. But we can control, why am I responding this way? If you're honest tonight, if we're honest, that you may never know the answer to the questions where. You may never know the answer to the questions when. You may never know the answer to the question why. On this side of eternity, sometimes we'll never know why things happen. We may not know why we get a certain diagnosis. We may not know why there's evil, so much bad things in this world. We may not know all the answers on this side of eternity. But what you can do is control your response to the answer to those questions. How do you respond to what is happening? I'm reminded tonight that things don't just happen to us, they happen for us. What is God doing in your life? How is God working in your life? They don't just happen to you, they happen for you. My life verse for a very long time has been Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow them. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, God's always working in us to make us more like Christ. Why are these things happening? I don't know all the answers, but I do know not everything is good, but everything works together for good. Why? I don't know, but God is in control. He's not squeezing a stress ball, wondering what's going to happen next. He's not looking to take sabbatical to go chill out somewhere. He's totally 100% in control. He's asking important questions. When? Where are you? Why is this happening? You can control how you respond to these things. But here's a third thing tonight, and the encouraging part of the message. Not only the psalmist's deliberations, not only the psalmist's description, but thirdly, we have the psalmist's deductions. What are the conclusions that the psalmist came to? And these are the things that'll help you tonight, the things that hopefully can encourage you tonight, and the lessons that we can learn. Remember, we said at the beginning of the message to the chief musician, Mashka, what are we trying to learn from this psalm? Well, first of all, there's a lesson of God's omnipresence. God's omnipresence. In my loneliness, God's presence becomes more real. Look at Psalm 42 and verse number 5. The Bible says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. God had become his hope. It's interesting, at the end of Psalm 42 and at the end of Psalm 43, you find those words. If you look at Psalm 42 and verse number 11, at the latter half, it says, who is the health of my countenance and my God? Then at the end of Psalm 43, it says, who is the health of my countenance and my God? It's repeating itself. It gives this idea that when he looks up to God, he wants to see that God is looking at him. And I'm reminded tonight that God will never leave you nor forsake you. What Psalm 139 says, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He goes on to talk about, whither shall I go from the Spirit of the Lord? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. Listen to me tonight. You may feel like God might be far away, but in reality, what the Word of God says trumps all of our feelings, because God said he's here, and so he is here. I remember when I was 11, it was the day before Father's Day, I'd woke up and my abdomen hurt, something fierce. I was hurting. I had a severe pain in my abdomen. I was nauseated, and I was, this is not good. I was just generally feeling pretty awful. I got up that morning. My mom, it was a Saturday, she made breakfast, and here's the thing that tipped her off that something was wrong. I didn't touch it. Kevin, are you okay? I don't feel very good. And when I didn't touch breakfast, she said, something must really be wrong with my son, who is the human garbage disposal. Which is the truth, but I'm working on it, okay? Supposedly on a diet, I don't know. I'm supposed to lose 30 pounds, I've only got 40 to go, right? So my mom and dad, we're going to go on a date the day before Father's Day, and they both worked at Jupiter Medical Center. My dad was in the emergency department, and he was famous over there, not because he saved a lot of lives, but because he installed solitaire on all the computers over there. And they loved him for that. But they went to go see somebody, and they talked to a physician's assistant that was good friends with my father. And my dad told the guy what my symptoms were. He said, why don't you bring him in? Why don't you have him come to the emergency room? We'll just check him out just to be safe. So my mom called the house back in the days when there was actually landlines at the house. And I picked it up. I said, Mom. And she said, we're going to come get you, and we're going to take you to the emergency room. Okay. Hung up the phone. I was feeling pretty bad. And they came over, they got me, collected me, brought me to the emergency room. And as an 11-year-old kid, I was scared. I didn't know. An 11-year-old kid, you can think a lot of different things that are going on. What's going on in my body? Why am I hurting so much? Why am I not hungry? I love to eat, you know? I was scared. And they took me back to the emergency department there. And I found great comfort and peace, not in the fact, not the expertise of the doctors, not in the quality of care that I was going to receive, but you know what comforted me was the fact that one of the people that loved me the most was standing right there. It was my dad. He was patting me on the head. Everything's going to be all right. And my dad worked in the emergency department, so he took my blood, you know, for blood work and all those things. And then we discovered that I had appendicitis. It looked like I had to go to emergency surgery. My dad walked with me all the way up to the elevator, all the way to the operating room. And then when he couldn't go any further, my mom, who worked in the operating room, she was part of the surgery department, she walked with me next. And she's a little bit weird. Mom, if you're watching, I love you. But she sat and she watched the whole surgery. How many of you would think that's something cool to do, watch your kid get, I don't know. Let me just say this, as a kid with parents that worked in the medical field, our conversations at dinner were wild, okay? But later I found out, after I got put under, my mom was there watching the whole thing. She watched the doctor do what he was going to do. The doctor came up with my appendix and shoulder. She said, wow, interesting. Then surgery was done. And I vaguely remember being wheeled to recovery, and my dad was there again. And he was there. As an 11-year-old kid, the thought of having emergency surgery is scary for really anybody, but especially a kid, a child. But I found great comfort in the fact that my dad was right there, and that those who loved me most were right there. And I'm reminded that though we may not feel God all the time, we don't live by feelings. We don't live in the feelings. We live by the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us, even if we're feeling something different, the Word of God tells us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. And you can find comfort and peace and joy knowing that your Father is there. It's a lesson of omnipresence. Secondly, not only is it His omnipresence, but there's a lesson of God's ownership. I want you to look at Psalm 42 again in verse number 7. This is interesting to me. When I stop reading, I want you to say the next word out, okay? Verse number 7 says this, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. That's very interesting, isn't it? Those words, thy, found three times in verse number 7. Those are possessive. In other words, the very thing that was overwhelming the psalmist belonged to who? It belonged to God. That shows us that God is in control. It shows us that God, He is in ownership. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going in my life. And He's in control of the situation. Look at what the verse says again. The Bible says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. The lesson that we're learning is that God is in control. And He lets things in our lives, but that's just it. He's the one that lets these things in our life. And He's in control over those things. The very thing that is overwhelming the psalmist is the thing that God has control over. Listen tonight, whatever your wave is, God is in control of it. He can tell it to stop at any moment. If He doesn't, He's got something else going on. Look at verse number 8, Psalm 42. The Bible says, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of my life. God's love is faithful and it's unfailing. God's love is not going anywhere. God is in control of the situation. When you feel God is far away, He's not. He's in control. It's a lesson of God's ownership. It's a lesson of God's omnipresence. It's also a lesson of God's outlook. In my confusion, God's perspective becomes more necessary. Look at Psalm 43 in verse number 3. Psalm 43, verse number 3. The Bible says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Verse number 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. In these times of spiritual depression, when we feel that God is far away, it's important to get God's perspective on all of it. Here we have the psalmist. He's seeking the Lord. He's going after the Lord. He's continually seeking after Him, trying to get God's perspective on the whole matter. We have our perspective, but then there's God's perspective. His ways are higher than our ways. How many of you like to fly in airplanes? How many of you say, that's not my cup of tea? I'm not a big type of fly person, okay? When I was in Bible college, I had tried to find the cheapest flight going back to Tennessee that I could find. And sure enough, Orlando coming out of Sanford Airport, flights were like $10 for a college kid. Sign me up for that. You drive to the Sanford Airport. It's a very tiny airport. If you blink, you might miss it. But you get there, and there is your little jet that's supposed to fly you to another state. And it's not looking very encouraging. The person that's running the desk is also working on the engine. I don't know how that all works, you know. They're shorthanded, but I'm going to get on this plane. It's a step of faith, you know. This one particular day with my $10 plane ticket flying back to Tennessee, there was a storm going on around the time I was supposed to take off. Oh, goody. So I sat there. I felt like the seat was going to collapse underneath me. Maybe I need to cut some weight, okay, but it just felt very cheap. Anyways, I digress. They're going to taxi out, and I'm looking out the window, and it's storm, it's rainy. I'm like, they're going to take off in this. I got one of those cool little gift bags right in the front of the seat there. You know what I'm talking about. I was ready. We're going to take off in the storm. All's going to be well. But we started to taxi out. We took off, and we started going up and up and up. And I've always been a little uneasy on the takeoff because you feel, you know, sometimes you feel a little bit weightless, and then you feel real heavy, all these different types of things. But the plane, once we got a little bit more altitude, was shaking just a little bit, and I was white-knuckling onto the guard or the rail next to me here. I was a little bit nervous. I was a little bit shaking. But eventually, in that $10 flight, we got above the storm, and my perspective totally changed. I'll never forget going through the storm, being in it, and being a little bit nervous and afraid. The plane was rocking and shaking, and people were concerned all around me. But once I got above the storm, it was calm. And you know, sometimes we need the perspective that God has on everything going on in our life. God knows it all. The Bible says in Psalm 139, He knows it all together. He knows it all together. And so His perspective is He's in control, and that should bring us comfort. That should bring us a sense of trust and faith in the Lord. The perspective needs to change sometimes in our lives. As we find out, there's a lesson about God's outlook, a lesson about God's ownership, a lesson of God's omnipresence. And then the last thing here tonight, for us, it's a lesson of opportunity. You ever been to the place where you feel God's a million miles away, there's an opportunity for you to live by faith. It's an opportunity for you to trust the Lord. It's an opportunity for you to seek the Lord. Look again, Psalm 43, verse number 3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Where is God's light and God's truth? Here it is right here. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacle. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee. Oh, God, my God. You know what? When you feel that God is far away, when you're downtrodden and discouraged and things aren't going your way, it's an opportunity for you to seek first the kingdom of God. It's an opportunity for you to go after God. I think about all the way back in Psalm 42. He says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Listen, that's a good place to be when you're desiring God. God, I want to hear from your word. God, I want to see my prayers answered. It's an opportunity for you to seek the Lord. When you feel God's far away, no, I'm going to keep connected. When you think God is far away, I'm going to keep searching and I'm going to keep seeking him. And you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and all those things shall be added unto you. It's an opportunity for you to seek. There's an opportunity for you to trust. Psalm 42, verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. It's interesting to me that he doesn't say this. He doesn't say, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in the circumstance to change. He doesn't say that. I hope that the bank account gets more money in it and my bills get less. No. I hope that the diagnosis changes. I hope. No. His hope is in the Lord. Our hope is not in our circumstances changing or getting better or whatever we might think. Our hope is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my hope is built on nothing less that God will change my circumstance. No. It's our hope is built on the character and the holiness of God. We don't live by fleeting passions. Live according to the principles of the Word of God. That's where we can trust. That's where our foundation is. That's where our anchor holds. We can trust in what God says in His Word. It's an opportunity to seek God. It's an opportunity to trust God. It's an opportunity to praise God. Look again, Psalm 43, verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? By the way, it's very interesting. He never gives the answer to that question, but here's what he gives instead. Hope in God, for I shall yet, what? Praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. In the times where we're down, where we're discouraged and downtrodden, those are the times to lift our praise to him. Even in the valley, God is good. And God wants to hear your praise, and praise is strong when it's coming from a low spot. Praise is strong when you're coming to him with a broken heart. He wants to hear your praise. The psalmist here has taken the opportunity to seek God. The psalmist here is taking the opportunity to trust God. He's taking the opportunity to praise God. And then there's the opportunity to live by faith. I'm reminded of one famous preacher. He was talking to his mother. How many of you know moms have a lot of wisdom? Yes, a lot of moms in here, and some of you have shared some of your wisdom with me, and I appreciate it. Sometimes you, when I was a teenager, you shared some discipline, so that's good too. But moms have wisdom. One famous preacher was talking to his mother, and he said to her, I wish that I could feel close to God all the time. I wish that I could feel God near me all the time. And she replied with sage wisdom, you know, it's better not to feel his presence sometimes than you have the opportunity to live by faith. And faith is what pleases God, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The psalmist tonight reminds us that this life of following God is a life that always has been and always will be of faith. And we go through up and down seasons, but that's what they are. That's exactly what they are. They're seasons. They come and they go. But may we have the resolve to trust God, to seek God, to praise God, and to live our lives by faith. Because that's what pleases and glorifies Him. God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for the power of the Word of God. Lord, I probably didn't say anything that can help anybody, but your Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray that you help us to hide these truths in our heart. Lord, for somebody here that's at a low point, I pray that you'd be near them, that they would know your presence. Help us to trust in and apply your Word to our lives. Help us to live by faith. We love you tonight. We pray in your name. Amen.